sole chair of the Washington State Funeral and Cemetery Board. And it is now 9 o'clock, Thursday, February 23rd, 2023. And I'm calling this board meeting to order. We will be providing an opportunity, as always, for public comment later in this meeting. As a courtesy, we encourage everyone to mute their microphones or your phone if you're called in when you are not speaking to reduce the background noise when others are speaking. Also, for board members, to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. Item 2, roll call. Susan, would you please do a roll call of the board members?
Yes. Chair Little?
I'm present.
Vice Chair Itner?
Present.
Board Member Gutierrez Zamora?
I'm here.
Board Member Smock?
I believe he's going to be a little late today.
Board Member Cameron?
Here.
Board Member Ward? And Board Member Lessord?
Board Member Lessord is excused today.
Thank you.
Okay. So it sounds like we do have a quorum. Item 3, approval of agenda. Sydney?
Yes, just for the sake of time, because we do have a large number of cases to get through today, I would like to request that the board hear our old business, setting the board goals and continuing that discussion after we get through all of the cases, so after item 7, just because that discussion can be trimmed down in consideration of time.
Okay.
Do you need a motion?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I move that we approve the agenda, moving item 5 to after item 7, as suggested.
Okay, moved by Dante. Do we have a second?
This is Dave, I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppositions? Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, carried. All right. Approval of minutes, 4.1. We need approval for each set of minutes. So minutes from November 1st, 2022.
This is Pete. I move that we accept the minutes as presented.
They've been presented by Pete. Do we have a second?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and second.
And moved and seconded. Any questions? Not. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? The moved. 4.2, the minutes from November 30th, 2022.
Mr. Chair, if I can interrupt for a second, we do yes. have quite a few members of the public in our meeting today. So just okay. as a reminder, we're getting a lot of background noise. So for those in yes. attendance or who have called in, if you could mute your phone or your microphone, that'll help us reduce that background noise and make sure that everybody can hear.
Yeah, please do. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder there. Okay, we're at 4.2. Minutes from November 30th, 2022. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and move that the minutes be approved as presented.
Okay. Moved by Dante. Do we have a second?
This is Pete. I'll second.
Okay. We moved and seconded. Any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Any abstentions? Yes. So moved. Item 4.3, minutes from February 10th, 2023.
That is so cool for Annette.
What's that? Sorry.
Again, just as a reminder, yes. We have a lot of people on the call today. So if you have called in or you're a first time attendee, if you could please mute your microphone or your phone if you have called in, that'll help us reduce the background noise and make sure everybody can hear.
Okay, 4.3 minutes from February 10th, 2023.
This is Pete. I move that we accept the minutes as presented.
It's been moved by Pete. Do we have a second?
It's Dave. I second.
Moved by Pete. Seconded by Dave. Any questions? If not, all of those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. Okay, moving down to the new business. 6.1, Sydney, committee update discussion.
As the board is aware, we've established a couple of committees. One was for the licensing future task force, and the other is or was formed regarding review of the delegations and the investigations process. Because it's been a while since those committees were established and we're reestablishing all of that committee work, the Licensing Future Task Force did meet just this past week, but wanted to bring a discussion back to the board and make sure that the reason both of those committees were established is still relevant, or see if there's anything that the board wants to tweak, especially with the complaint investigation process and the delegations, because the board has just reviewed the delegations and approved them, and see if that is still a discussion that the board feels we need to have, or if that needs to change at all.
Okay. Thank you. The 6.2, the State Department of Health's Natural Organic Reduction Survey and Rule.
Yes, this was just provided as information for the board. We were asked by the State Department of Health and their outreach team just to provide this information to the board to be shared out amongst licensees, because this does have some impact to our licensees, but not necessarily through the board's work. So this is just information only that they are looking at some WAC updates regarding natural organic reduction facilities.
And any other updates on 6.3?
No.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and go with the complaint cases for review. Item 7.1, Mr. Idner.
Thank you, Mr. Little. This is case number 2020-05-0236-00CEM. Complaint summary is as follows. Complainant filed a complaint with the Department of Licensing on May 18, 2020, alleging poor customer service at the respondent location while arranging for burial of the cremated remains of a friend. The complainant had pre-purchased an urn and arranged for her cremated remains to be placed on her son's grave in 2017. The respondent cemetery claimed they did not have a record of the urn purchase and were unable to order the urn selected in 2017. Complainant was upset when she finally received a 50% refund for the urn from the respondent. The complainant also claimed the respondent staff refused to give contact information for the main office. Complainant's friend passed in March of 2020 and was cremated. Complainant contacted the cemetery on March 23, 2020 to have the cremated remains buried on her son's grave. There were several telephone conversations between the complainant and respondent cemetery staff in April and May 2020 to determine the status of the urn. The respondent was unable to verify the 2017 purchase of the urn though the investigation would eventually produce trust statements verifying the urn purchase. The complainant faxed copies of the 2017 cemetery paperwork to the respondent cemetery on May 6, 2020. But respondent staff continued to argue with the complainant about the urn. The complainant asked for the contact information for the owner or supervisor, but respondent staff refused to provide any information. The complainant ultimately filed a complaint with the Department of Licensing, which led to the respondent finally refunding the full amount for the urn. Recommend a letter of education given that suggested potential violations of professional conduct relative to that RCW 18.235.130.
Okay. Do we have a motion to this?
This is Pete. So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Do we have a second?
This is Dante. Second.
Okay. It has been moved by Pete, seconded by Dante. Are there any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? So just to clarify, we'll do the letter and then we'll need to reevaluate that after the letter. Because we're not actually closing this.
Sydney, is that how that?
Yes, I believe so.
Process works. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. They'll be presented again once the letter's been of education's been presented and talked about. So thank you. Item 7.2, Mr. Itner. All those in favor. Did we? Oh, yeah. Okay. 7.2, sorry, Mr. Itner.
Yep. This is case number 2020-07-0487-00CEM. Complaint summary is as follows. Complainant filed a complaint with the Department of Licensing on July 21st, 2020, alleging the respondent failed to install name bars, a photo, vases, and a military plaque on her parents' crypt in a timely manner. Complainant's mother passed on June 30th, 2019, and was entombed in the mausoleum along with the cremated remains of her husband, who died in 2012. The name bars, photo, and vase were purchased in 2019. The cemetery failed to place the name bars, photos, and vase on the crypt plate over a year after placement of remains in the crypt. Facts of the case are the complainant contacted the respondent in August of 2018 for an update on the name bars and military plaque to be placed on her parents' crypt. The respondent said everything should be installed by October or November of 2019. Complainant was out of state from December 19 until early March 2020. When the complainant went to the cemetery in March 2020, there was nothing on the crypt plate. The cemetery office was closed due to COVID-19, and the complainant was unable to leave a voice message on the cemetery's telephone, as the cemetery did not have a voicemail system set up. April 2020, the complainant visited the cemetery and saw the respondent staff of record walking cemetery grounds with another staff member. The complainant asked about the status of the name bars. The respondent staff did not recall talking with the complainant in August of 2019 about the crypt memorialization. Respondent staff did confirm the photo and vases were ready to be installed and said everything would be installed by Memorial Day. Respondent staff also asked the complainant to send all the information and cemetery receipts because the cemetery's records were incomplete. Complainant received a message later the same day that only the photo and vase could be installed by Memorial Day, as the name bars had to be reordered. Complainant was also told the cemetery should not order the veterans plaque, could not order the veterans plaque. On May 21st, 2020, the respondent visited the cemetery and found her parents' photo had been installed on the wrong crypt. The complainant complained to the cemetery and the photo was reinstalled on the correct crypt. The vases were still missing from the crypt, which meant there was no place for flowers on Memorial Day. The complainant ultimately got assistance to order the veterans plaque from a funeral home and the local VFW. By July 2020, the complainant was frustrated with the respondent as the crypt plate still lacked the name bars, vases, and military plaque. In this case, also recommending a letter of education in lieu of remedial counseling, considering the professional conduct statute.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Itner. All right. Do we have a motion on that case?
This is Dante, so moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yeah, this is Pete. I'll second.
Okay. Are there any questions? And again, this will be another one that will come back after the letters.
Yeah, this is Pete. I've got a question on this one. Has that finally been completed? Did the name bar arrive and everything's good to go now?
That is my understanding, Pete. Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, to your question, and I apologize for misspeaking. No, the letter of education does close the case. It's same as remedial counseling. So if we receive another complaint about the same thing, then the investigator would look at moving further or would talk to the case manager about moving further. But no, the letter of education does close the case.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Appreciate that. All right. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Item 7.3, Mr. Gutierrez Zamora.
All right. This would be case number 2020-01-0066-00-FDE. Complaint and summary. The complainant's mother purchased a prearranged funeral plan from the respondent's firm in 2008. At the time of death, November 1st, 2019, the complainant chose to work with another firm. The complainant requested pre-need funds that were in trust be refunded. The respondent did not promptly refund those funds, and the complainant filed a complaint with the Department of Licensing. The initial request for a response was sent to the respondent on February 7, 2020. With the request for response by February 21st, 2020. The respondent has failed to respond to this request and subsequent subpoenas dated November 5th, 2020. Also, the respondent establishment license has been expired since January 31st, 2019. The respondent did issue a check to the performing funeral home for the pre-need funds on December 14th of 2020. The facts, the respondent has operated a funeral establishment without a license. Also, the respondent has failed to cooperate with disciplinary authority in course of an investigation. So I think this one is the letters that I need to review along with the remedial counseling. And, of course, I've cited the WACs that that fall into place with this as far as requiring a license or unprofessional conduct and also failure to cooperate with disciplinary authority.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete, so moved.
Do we have a second?
It's Dave, I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
This is Dave, just a question, Dante. Was there consideration given for formal action in this case?
I'm trying to remember. I think, you know, since I'm not exactly where they're at as far as actually even still operating, to be very candid.
Okay. Dave, this is Greg right. Hamilton. I can give a little bit of insight on that.
Perfect.
That was a consideration, and then the respondent is now currently licensed. So that was where the letter of education decision was. Dante had decided to do that instead because they got currently licensed.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Item 7.4, Mr. Ittner.
Thank you. This is case number 2022-03-0402-00FDE. Perfect. Complaint was sent to the Washington State Attorney General's office on March 14, 2020, alleging the respondent funeral home entered the wrong date of death on his mother's death certificate and failed to make corrections and provide a copy of the funeral arrangement records in a timely manner. The decedent passed away on December 2, 2021. The complainant's sons directed the respondent to handle the disposition. The respondent filed the death certificate on December 21st, 2020, with a death date of November 4, 2021. The complainant first contacted the respondent to obtain a copy of the death certificate on January 11th and again on January 19th, after not hearing from the respondent since his call January 11th. After receiving a voicemail on January 27th, the complainant again tried to contact the respondent. Subsequent calls went unanswered in February, and by March 14, the complainant had still not received the documents he requested, so he filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office, which was forwarded to the Department of Licensing. In this case, again, recommending a letter of education to resolve this matter.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete. So move.
Do we have a second? And again, do we have a second? Okay. Any other discussions on this?
Yeah, this is Pete. Has this been resolved? Do we know if that death certificate has been corrected and that family has been made right?
Again, yes, Pete, that is my understanding.
Okay.
Do we have a second? Doesn't sound like that, so this we'll move on to the next case. 7.5, Mr. Itner.
All right. This is case number 2022-04-0541-00CEM. On March 25th, 2022, the complainant sent a complaint to the Washington Attorney General's office alleging her husband's son directed a funeral provider to cremate her husband's remains while she was unaware of her husband's death. Complainant's husband had funeral prearrangements for a direct burial with a different funeral provider, as well as prepaid cemetery arrangements at the respondent cemetery location. Complaint was forwarded to the Department of Licensing on April 15, 2022. The Department of Licensing assumed the complaint involved a cemetery who was named as the respondent. The response provided by the cemetery owner explains the events that took place. It appears there is no complaint against any funeral home or cemetery in this situation. The respondent was not notified of her husband's death. Rather, she learned of his passing during a trip to verify the cemetery prearrangements on March 23, 2020. The cemetery provided the complaint with a copy of the EDRS record for her husband, which indicated he was cremated by a funeral provider on March 17, 2022. The EDRS record also indicated the decedent was divorced. The complainant contacted the funeral provider and learned that her husband's remains had not been cremated. The respondent directed a different funeral provider with whom the decedent had made prearrangements to take custody of his remains. The funeral home provided the goods and services that had been prearranged for the decedent. The complainant's husband's remains were buried at the cemetery location referenced in the complaint on April 27, 2022. I recommend close with no further action.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete. So move.
Moved by Pete. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
This is Angie. I'll second.
Thank you, Angie. So moved and seconded. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Item 7.6, is Mr. Smock in yet?
Mr. Chair, I have not seen him yet.
Okay, so Grace, can you?
Yes, thank you. Case number 2022-10-1438-00FDE. Complaint summary is the complainant alleges that the respondent funeral home has an unfair advantage over other funeral providers with the sheriff's office in their county, and that the sheriff's office contacted the respondent funeral home to make removal without their consent or opportunity to ask questions. The complainant further alleges that the respondent funeral home has a near monopoly in their service area with only one competitor, and that there is price fixing by the two funeral homes in the area. Facts are as follows. During the investigation, it was confirmed that the sheriff's office's protocol is to ask the family which funeral home to call, and that only if the family is unavailable at the time of death, the sheriff's office will contact the nearest funeral home to the place of death. The complainant acknowledges that they agreed to have the sheriff's office contact the funeral home without having time to ask questions or discuss the funeral home option. The complainant met with the respondent funeral home the following day, made complete arrangements for cremation, was presented with a copy of the respondent funeral home's general price list, and signed a statement of goods and services. The respondent funeral home entered the death certificate information into the electronic death registration system and forwarded the certificate to the medical certifier the same day. The next day, the complainant contacted the respondent funeral home with questions about their prices. 2 days later, the complainant contacted the respondent funeral home after hours to inform them that they wanted their relative transferred to another funeral provider. And the on-call staff person told the complainant that someone would contact them the following day to arrange for the transfer. The following day, the respondent funeral home contacted the complainant to receive verbal permission to release the remains to the other funeral provider. During the phone conversation, the respondent funeral home informed the complainant that there would be a charge for the removal and refrigeration of the remains. The complainant reluctantly paid the charge to the respondent funeral home. During the investigation, both funeral homes were contacted to confirm that their charges were for direct cremation, and both funeral homes charged a different amount. Given the fact that the sheriff's office protocol is to have the family decide what funeral home they prefer and would only contact the nearest funeral home if the family is not available at the time of death, and that the respondent funeral home only charged a modest fee for the removal and refrigeration, even though they performed additional professional services when they met with the family and completed the death certificate in EDRS, and that the two funeral homes in the service area do not have identical pricing, I conclude that the allegations lack merit and the case should be closed with no further action.
Thank you so much, Grace. Do we have a motion?
This is Dave, so moved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and second.
Okay. Do we have any other discussions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Case 7, item 7.7. Grace, you're going to do this for Tommy Lasarth.
Case number 2022-03-0447-00FDE. Point summary, the funeral home delivered the deceased to the cemetery for burial prior to filing a death certificate and obtaining a burial transit permit. The licensee self-reported the incident. Burial of a decedent without obtaining a burial transit permit is a violation of law. The investigator discussed with the respondent the requirements and ways to avoid this from happening in the future. Recommendation is the case be closed with a letter of education.
Thank you. All right. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante. So moved.
Thank you, Dante. Do we have a second?
This is Angie. I'll second.
Thank you, Angie. Any other discussions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. Item 7.8, Grace.
Case number 2022-09-1386-00CEM. Again, complaint was self-reported that a decedent was buried on March 20th, 2022 at a cemetery in Seattle, Washington without a burial transit permit. The cemetery did bury the decedent without the burial transit permit. Disposition without a burial transit permit is against Washington state law, RCW 7058.210. The investigator discussed with the respondent the requirements and ways to avoid this in the future. Recommendation is to close with a letter of education.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete. So move.
Thank you, Pete. Do we have a second?
Dave, second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have any other discussions?
This is Dante. This wouldn't be the same firm by chance or the same incident.
The same incident. The first case was for the funeral home, and the second case was the cemetery.
Oh, sorry. All right. Thank you.
No worries.
Okay. Any other discussions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Item 7.9. That would be Mr. Itner.
Thank you. This is case number 2022-09-1336-00FDE. The complainant contacted the Department of Licensing by phone to complain about the respondent on September 20, 2022. The complaint alleged the respondent funeral home cremated her husband's remains without notifying her of his death or without her consent. The complainant, who lives in California, learned of her husband's death 3 months after he died through a notation on her credit report. The complainant found out the respondent handled a disposition which was authorized by her husband's parents. The complainant contacted the Department of Licensing again on September 23, 2022 and requested a complaint be filed against the cemetery, separate complaint, for burying her husband's, it is a separate complaint, for burying her husband's cremated remains without her permission. Complainant's husband died June 2, 2022. The decedent's father and stepmother authorized cremation at the respondent location on June 6, 2022. The decedent's mother also signed a cremation authorization and agreed to have the decedent's cremated remains released to her and the decedent's father. According to the complainant, the respondent funeral home relied on information provided by her husband's father who claimed his son was never married. The complainant emailed a copy of a marriage certificate dated April 24, 2010 from Nevada. The bride is listed as the complainant and the groom is listed as the decedent. The respondent funeral director sent a written response to the complaint on October 19, 2022. The funeral director is also the area general manager for the respondent funeral home. The respondent claims that the decedent's parents represented themselves as having the right to control disposition and indicated the decedent had never been married. The decedent was cremated on June 14, 2022. The respondent stated they were unaware the decedent had a spouse until the complainant contacted them on September 20, 2022. Due to the fact that's not the way I want to say it. They misrepresented the status of the marriage. And so, in that case, I recommend to close this with no further action.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante, so moved.
Do we have a second?
This is Pete, I'll second.
Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, item 7.10, Mr. Cameron.
Thank you. This is complaint number 2021-07-1806-00FDE. This is a program-generated complaint by the Funeral and Cemetery Board staff alleging unlicensed practice. The facts are that the funeral home named in this complaint had its establishment license revoked on April 20th, 2021, and was ordered to wind down the existing business and allow specific guidelines that were established in the final order issued by the board. The establishment did not follow the guidelines of the final order and continued to represent themselves to the public and serve new client families through July 30th of 2021. The establishment then ceased operations and closed its doors. This clearly constituted unlicensed practice by this establishment and would necessitate some sort of sanction or formal action. However, since the establishment is now closed, there's no license or licensee to be held accountable. I'm recommending that this case be closed with no further action.
Thank you, Pete. Do we have a motion on that?
This is Dave. So moved.
So moved. Do we have a second?
This is Angie.
This is Dante. Okay.
It's seconded by Angie. Any other discussions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. 7.11, Mr. Ittner.
Thank you. This is case number 2022-09-1387-00CEM. The complainant contacted the Department of Licensing by phone to complain about a funeral home in a separate complaint on September 20, 2022. The complaint alleged the funeral home cremated her husband's remains without notifying her of his death or without her consent. The complainant, who lives in California, learned of her husband's death 3 months after he died through a notation on her credit report. The complainant found out the funeral home handled the disposition, which was authorized by her husband's parents. The complainant contacted the Department of Licensing again on September 23, 2022, and requested a complaint be filed against the respondent's cemetery for burying her husband's cremated remains without her permission. The complainant's husband died June 2, 2022. The decedent's father and stepmother authorized cremation on June 6, 2022. The decedent's mother also signed a cremation authorization and agreed to have the decedent's cremated remains released to her and the decedent's father. The decedent's cremated remains were buried at the respondent's cemetery on July 9, 2022. According to the complaint, the funeral home relied on information provided by her husband's father, who claimed his son was never married. The complainant emailed a copy of a marriage certificate dated April 24, 2010 from Nevada. The bride is listed as the complainant and the groom is listed as the decedent. The respondent's cemetery manager sent a written response to the complaint on October 5, 2022. Their response indicates they were also unaware the decedent was married until the complainant contacted them in September 2022. The cemetery has requested the complainant obtain a court order before they are willing to disinter the decedent's cremated remains. So again, this situation where the parents represented the right, they had the right to control disposition, indicated the decedent was not married. And so I recommend this case be closed with no further action.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante. So moved.
Do we have a second?
This is Pete. No second.
And moved and seconded. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Item 7.12, Mr. Ittner.
Thank you. This is case number 2022-03-0430-00CEM. The complainant claims their lodge building is ultimately an asset of the state lodge, who is also named as co-complainant, not an asset of the cemetery's endowment care fund. The local and state lodge want to remove the lodge building from the endowment care fund in exchange for $14,744, which is the unpaid balance of a loan taken from the fund in 1931. Plus interest on the unpaid loan in the amount of $6,160. The 2021 tax assessor's value of the building was $475,150. The complainant, the local lodge, has indicated the real property is an asset of the endowment care fund for several years on their endowment care annual reports. During a December 14, 2021 conversation with a representative of the local lodge, the cemetery's perpetual care fund offered mortgages to loan members in 1931. The local lodge borrowed $18,323 from the endowment care fund, which was to be repaid at $250 per year. The local lodge executed a mortgage document creating a lien against the lodge building. On February 10, 1931, the mortgage document required annual payments of $250 with an interest rate of 6%. The attorney for the state lodge stated the local lodge decided to surrender the lodge building to the endowment care fund to satisfy the unpaid debt in the early 1960s. The local lodge declared foreclosure on the lodge building but failed to notify the state lodge, who has a reversionary interest for all real property owned by the local lodges. However, no property deeds were ever transferred to the endowment care fund. The attorney's June 22, 2022 letter indicates the state lodge became aware of the endowment care trust agreement for the cemetery operated by the local lodge in 1991. The state lodge sent a letter on April 8, 1991 to the local lodge and to the cemetery, Washington Cemetery Board, which informed them the transfer of the lodge building to the endowment care fund trust. The endowment care trust was invalid, though the local lodge has included the lodge building as an asset of the fund every year since at least 1999. However, the attorney indicated the state lodge received an ownership and an encumbrance and judgment report from Kittitas Title Company. The state lodge, through their attorney, has offered the following to resolve the matter with the Washington Funeral and Cemetery Board. State lodge will deposit $20,655 into the endowment care trust fund for the cemetery operated by the local lodge. The amount represents the unpaid balance of the 1931 loan, $14,494 plus 6% interest of $6,160. If there are no real records showing the lodge building was ever effectively or legally transferred into the endowment care fund, it is likely the lodge did not have legal, authority to do so. I recommend the board agree to resolve this matter per the complainant's offer.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion? Closure.
This is Pete. So moved.
Do we have a second?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and second.
Okay. So we moved and seconded. Do we have any other discussion?
Dave, just a couple of quick questions. This is Pete. Is this lodge located on cemetery property or are there separate locations? Or do we know?
I believe it is a separate location. I don't know the answer to that, Pete. That's a good question. Effectively, the local lodge had no authority to transfer the interest in the building into the endowment care fund, given the reversionary nature of the agreement with the parent lodge, if you will. So, in addition to that, there were simply no records showing the transfer of that property to the endowment care fund.
Right. Okay. So my only other question then is the cemetery, is that open to only lodge members or is that open to non-lodge members as well? It's not their own independent cemetery, is it?
I do not know the answer to that question. I think in this case, given the original agreement was to the loan proceeds were to be repaid back according to the agreement, $250 per year plus the interest rate, and the lodge has agreed to make that whole in terms of the original loan agreement and make the endowment care fund whole.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Pete, this is Grace Hamilton. I can give a couple of answers to that. The lodge is not on the cemetery property, and it is open to all, not just cemetery members.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other discussions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so moved. Okay, item 7.13, Mr. Cameron.
Thank you. This is complaint number 2022-09-1248-00FDE. Complainant summary is that the complainant is a former employee of a respondent funeral home who alleges 20 different violations occurred during her four-month employment. Respondent funeral home believes the complaint was filed in retaliation for the complainant being fired. The facts are that during the course of the investigation, the board staff discovered that only three out of the 20 complaints were credible and had proof. One, the respondent funeral home had inadequate refrigeration facilities that were under repair for a short period of time. Two, that the respondent funeral home had crematory operators that were uncertified. And three, that the respondent funeral home was not obtaining the majority of next of kin signatures required for cremation as required in Washington. There was no indication that any decedent remains or client families were harmed. Since the time of the initial investigation, respondent funeral home has installed proper working refrigeration facilities, obtained certifications for all crematory operators, and all staff have been instructed on obtaining the proper signatures required for cremation. In response, I'm recommending a letter of education be sent to respondent funeral home to review with their entire staff that emphasizes the importance of maintaining properly running refrigeration facilities, keeping current on all certifications and licenses, and a review of RCW 68.50.160 for who has the right to control disposition. So I'm recommending a letter of education, which has been drafted, and I reviewed it yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante, so moved.
Do we have a second?
This is Dave, I'll second.
And move to second. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Let's move on to 7.14. Mr. Cameron.
Thank you. This is complaint number 2022-09-1249-00FDE. Complainant is a former employee of respondent funeral home who alleges 20 different violations occurred during her four-month employment. Respondent funeral home believes the complaint was filed in retaliation for the complainant being fired. This complaint is related to case number 2022-09-1248-00FDE that we just did, as the respondent funeral home has a second location that the same complainant also worked at during her four-month employment. During the facts of the course of the investigation, staff discovered that only three out of the 18 complaints were credible and had proof. The respondent funeral home had inadequate refrigeration facilities that were under repair for a short period of time. Two, that the respondent funeral home had crematory operators that were uncertified. And three, that the respondent funeral home was not obtaining the majority of next of kin signatures required for cremation as required in Washington. There was no indication that any decedent remains or client families were harmed. Since the time of the initial investigation, the respondent funeral home has installed proper working refrigeration facilities, obtained certifications for all crematory operators, and all staff have been instructed on obtaining the proper signatures required for cremation. So in response, I'm recommending a letter of education be sent to respondent funeral home to review with their entire staff that emphasizes the importance of maintaining properly running refrigeration facilities, keeping current on all certifications and licenses, and a review of RCW 68.50.160 for who has the right to control disposition. And again, this letter has been created and reviewed yesterday. It is ready to go.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Dave.
Okay, so with Dave, do we have a second?
This is Angie, I'll second.
Seconded up by Angie. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next is 7.15, Mr. Cameron.
Thank you. This is complaint number 2020-10-1356-00FDE. The complaint is from a County Vital Statistics Registrar filed a complaint against the respondent funeral home alleging they failed to file two death certificates in a timely manner. The facts are that during the course of the investigation, it was revealed that there were actually seven death certificates that had not been filed in a timely manner, some dating back 4 years on indigent remains that were still under refrigeration at a separate offsite storage facility. Respondent stated that they were all in various stages of either awaiting information to complete the certificate, lacking doctor signatures, cremation authorizations, or disposition authorization to be issued by the county. While this case was under investigation, the respondent's funeral establishment license was revoked by the state board under a separate agreed order, and the business was closed. As part of the agreed order, the respondent was ordered to cremate these remains, but they did not do so and instead abandoned them. Board staff worked diligently with the facility where they were being stored, the county registrar's office, and the medical examiner's indigent remain program to ensure that all of these remains were properly cared for and have now been fully cremated according to state law. Although this case clearly exposed multiple violations of state rule, law, and the agreed order, as stated above, the respondent funeral home has been shut down. There is no establishment license or funeral director license to be held accountable anymore. Therefore, I'm recommending that this case be closed with no further action.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante, so moved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, this is Dave.
Okay. Any other discussion?
This is Angie. So if not for the vital records employee, this could have gone on much longer. And I just am curious about other board members' thoughts regarding the plausibility that this could be a problem in other places. And is there anything in place to help us ascertain that? Or do we really think this is a one-off situation?
I mean, that's go ahead.
Well, this is Pete. As the case manager on here, I'm drastically hoping that this is just a one-off. I've never heard of this before in all my years of doing this. There's really nothing in place that I know of or that I could find to prevent this from happening, just because funeral home records are privately held at the funeral home. Those arrangements are not public knowledge anywhere. So I'm grateful that this finally got accomplished. And it was extraordinary work by board staff to get this done. So I'm hoping and praying this never happens again.
Thank you so much, Pete. And I apologize if this isn't this question is out of turn, but since it had been 7 years, the longest one, or am I remembering that?
4 years.
4 years. So do we know if there'd been any sort of a site visit? I'm not getting the terminology correct, to this operation, to this particular funeral home in those 4 years.
Go ahead. This funeral home used an offsite facility for refrigeration and cremation. So they were not at the actual funeral home location.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. I appreciate Angie bringing that up just for clarification. I think that was very good. Item 7.16, Mr. Gutierrez Zamora.
All right, this would be case number 2022-08-1181-00-FDE. The summary, the complainant filed a complaint with the Funeral and Cemetery Board alleging the respondent firm released remains of an 84-year-old Native American to an out-of-state funeral home who subsequently transported and buried the deceased out-of-state prior to having a signed death certificate or a burial transit permit. The facts, as an embalming and removal service, the respondent often releases remains to its clients prior to completion of the death certificate or having the burial transit permit. In this case, however, the respondent knew that the client was transporting out of state, and the respondent was aware that the death certificate had not been signed because the respondent was the entity trying to complete that record. The out-of-state funeral home's assertion that the transit permit and death certificate were not necessary because the deceased was Native American, notwithstanding, the respondent should have been aware of the requirement for a permit as per RCW 7058-230. Also, the out-of-state funeral home was not from a state contiguous, or I can't say that word, with Washington State. So a current certificate of removal would not have applied. So these are recommended to close with letters of education that are, those are definitely in my queue to review.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete, so move.
And do we have a second?
This is Dave, second.
Okay, so moved and seconded. Any other discussion?
Dante, this is Pete.
Yep.
It sounds like respondent has been doing this for other locations and other providers for a while. Is there, or do you know if there's any history of any prior violations of this?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, without, you know, give.
Okay.
This is not to my knowledge. They do a lot of business, and this just happened to be two states over instead of one state over, and it was an in-state. So normally there's not a problem, but again, the letter is because they should have known better.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Any abstentions? Okay. I'm 7.17. Grace Hamilton will read for Connie.
Case number 2022-10-1448-00-FDE. Complaint summary. Complainant states that the National Organic Reduction Process at a facility does not sustain the necessary minimum temperature of 131 degrees Fahrenheit for 72 consecutive hours. The second complaint was that the facility allowed the leakage of bodily fluid from the vessel onto the ground. Facts. The respondent has stated that they have provided a copy of the temperature log as well as a link to the website, which included test results from a reduction completed at the facility. This decedent was oversized. The facility placed a tray underneath the vessel to catch any fluid that leaked and then placed extra wood chips in the tray. Once the leaking stopped, the tray with the fluid and wood chips were placed in the vessel as the reduction continued. The recommendation here is to close with no further action.
Thank you, Grace. Do we have a motion?
This is Dante, so moved.
Thank you, Dante. Do we have a second?
Zangio, second.
Okay. We moved and seconded. Do we have any other discussion?
This is Dante. I know Connie's not here, but maybe somebody that investigated the case. Is this a client or a competitor as the complainant, or do we know?
I believe it was a competitor, but if you give me just a second, I can verify that. Let's see. You know, I am not sure. Yeah, it looks like it was a competitor.
Okay.
Okay. Follow-up question. This is Dave. Was the copy of the temperature log, was that reviewed by the investigator and or the case manager?
Yes, it was included in the case file.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Pete. Do we know if this was just a one-off happening, or has this happened before with this facility, Grace? Do you know?
This is the first complaint we've gotten on this for this facility.
So, okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any other questions? Just a reminder to please shut off your mics. All of those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you, Grace. All right. Item 7.18, Mr. Itner.
Thank you. This is case number 2021-11-2963-00CEM. Complainant filed a complaint with the Department of Licensing on November 17, 2021, alleging the respondent placed cremated remains of another person in her grave. The complainant also alleges a memorial cross for someone else was placed on her grave without her permission. The facts of the case are that the complainant purchased a grave at the respondent location in November 2021 to place a marker for their son. The complainant noticed a memorial cross in the grave for someone else. The complainant probed the grave and found something was buried in her grave, and then complained to the cemetery office manager. The respondent's written response indicates the urn in the grave adjacent to the complainant's grave was partially in the complainant's grave. The respondent contacted the owner of the adjacent grave and obtained permission to move the cremated remains from the complainant's grave. The respondent claims the problem was corrected the next day. The respondent's written response claims another family put a memorial cross on the complainant's grave. The respondent contacted the family and asked them to remove the cross from the grave. The respondent claims the cross was removed from the complainant's grave. And, in this case, I'm recommending a letter of education, which I'm in the process of reviewing.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion?
This is Pete, so move.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Dante, I'll second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Item 7.19, Mr. Perez Zamora.
All right. This would be case number 20-2209-1311-00FDE. A complaint was filed on behalf of the brother of a man who passed away on August 16, 2022. The brother alleged that he was not allowed to pray over the remains of his brother, and the management of the respondent funeral home withheld information. At the time of the complaint, the complainants stated that they had funds for a lesser option that the directed by the deceased son. Then that was chosen or directed by the deceased son. Facts, the complainants came to the respondent funeral home on or about August 25th, 2022. At that time, the respondent was arranging for burial with the son of the deceased. As the brother of the deceased, the complainant had two steps removed from being the person or persons with the right to control disposition of the remains, cited the RCW there, and as opposed to the son and his right to control disposition. The complainant also stated that there was an individual that was a daughter of the deceased. That individual, well, it's never confirmed to be a daughter. She also made and missed several appointments with the respondent. When given an opportunity after the son failed to complete the arrangements within the 90 days, the complainant refused to provide for the lesser option that he had suggested. The deceased was buried by the respondent on January 13, 2023. So I'm going to go ahead and move that this case be closed with no further action.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion? Do we have a motion? Okay. Seeing as there's no motion, we'll go ahead and proceed.
So, Mr. Chair, before we move on, yes. I guess the question from staff would then be, if the board is not prepared to make a motion on this item, are there additional questions that staff could answer or additional action that the board would like to see brought back?
This is Dave. I'm going to try to understand the facts of the case here. So the complaint itself was that he was not allowed to pray over the remains of his brother, and they withheld information. It's not that this is not a right to control disposition case. Is that correct?
This one's kind of fresh, Dave. So basically, in the interim, after this person died, shortly after this person died, the brother of the person came and was demanding services. The individual, if I remember correct from the investigation, wasn't even at the site of the respondent. He was off-site.
The individual, meaning the deceased? I'm trying to understand. Is that what you're... I guess, like, let me ask this question. Is the person who had the right to control disposition was the son? Is that correct? You know, is that established?
Dante?
Mr. Chair, this is Pam Rice, the investigator. Yes. I might be able to help with the questions. So the complainant was the brother of the deceased, and he attempted to take over the disposition arrangements, but the son was working with the respondent, the funeral home, and the son refused to allow his uncle to pray over and take charge. So okay. The funeral home was kind of caught in the middle of a family situation.
Okay. Thank you, Pam.
And Pam was, so then the, at the end of the day, was it the son then that directed the disposition, or did he remove himself from the situation?
He never completed it. Sorry.
The son. Yeah. Yeah. Nope. You're great, Dante.
Yeah, I got kicked out there for a second. Sorry, so I lost some of that conversation. I don't know what happened. But anyway, long and the short, yeah, the son never stepped up. Basically, no one at the end of time, no one ever really stepped up, and it looks like the respondent took care of the burial on their own accord after the 90 days for, expired.
Okay. And was there a pre-need in place, or was this an at-need?
It's at-need.
Okay, I think that helps me understand.
So do we, with the added information, do we want to, do we have a motion to accept?
I would make that motion, yes, this is Dave.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Angie, I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions?
Yeah, this is Pete. I abstain.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to 7.20, Mr. Cameron.
Thank you. This is case number 2021-01-0239-00CEM. This is a reopening of a prior complaint case that was originally filed January 29th, 2021, where the board was asked to make a determination as to whether or not it had any jurisdiction over a pet cemetery that the owners installed a cell phone tower on. The property also has human cremated remains placed there. That case was closed with no further action after it was determined that the board had no jurisdiction over a privately owned pet cemetery, as it did not meet the definition of a cemetery as defined in RCW 6804-040, which states, definition of a cemetery means, one, any one or combination of more than one of the following in a place used or intended to be used for the placement of human remains and dedicated for cemetery purposes. A burial park for earth interments, B, a mausoleum for crypt interments, C, a columbarium for permanent niche interments, or two, for the purposes of chapter 68-60 RCW only, cemetery means any burial site, burial grounds, or place where five or more human remains are buried. Unless the cemetery is designated as a parcel of land identifiable and unique as a cemetery within the records of the county assessor, a cemetery's boundary shall be a minimum of 10 feet in any direction from any burials therein. The original complaint has requested the Department of Licensing reopen the complaint and is now asking the board to determine if there's a requirement for this pet cemetery to be licensed with the board and dedicated as a human cemetery, as it has been proven to have more than five sets of human cremated remains placed there. The facts. There are several issues to consider here. The first is that before the first human cremated remains were placed on the property, it was not recognized or licensed as a cemetery as defined above by RCW 6804-040. It was and still is private property that the owners decided to sell rights of interments on for pet burials, and they accommodated the wishes of some of the pet owners by allowing their cremated human remains to be placed near their pets. That is allowed according to RCW 68.50.130, which states, it's regarding unlawful disposal of remains. Every person who performs a disposition of any human remains except as otherwise provided by law in any place except in a cemetery or building dedicated exclusively for religious purposes is guilty of a misdemeanor. Disposition of human remains following cremation, alkaline hydrolysis, or natural organic reduction may also occur on private property with the consent of the property owner and on public or government lands or waters with the approval of a government agency that has either jurisdiction or control or both of the land or waters. That activity of placing human cremated remains on private property is allowed by law and not regulated by the board, and these families who purchased spaces for human cremated remains within this pet cemetery signed the same contracts that were designed and used for pet burials. The complainant states that because there are more than five sets of human cremated remains on the property, this should qualify under RCW 6804.040 number 2, but that section specifically references abandoned or historic cemeteries for humans, which states the definition in this section apply throughout this chapter unless the context clearly requires otherwise. One, quote, abandoned cemetery means a burial ground of the human dead. Another factor to consider is that according to RCW 6804.040, referenced above, in the legal definition of a cemetery, this property has never gone through the dedication process required. That process is covered in RCW 6824030 and RCW 6824040, which state the declaration, identification, and maps in the filing. The cemetery authority shall file a map of, or plat in the office of the recorder of the county in which all or a portion of the property is situated. The cemetery authority shall also file for the record in the county recorder's office a written declaration of dedication of the property delineated on the plat or map, dedicating the property exclusively to cemetery purposes. Dedication, when complete, means upon the filing of the map or plat and the filing of the declaration for record, the dedication is complete for all purposes, and thereafter the property shall be held, occupied, and used exclusively for a cemetery and for cemetery purposes. There's currently no law or rule that allows the board to either force a private property owner into the dedication process or for the board to arbitrarily start the dedication process on its own. It should also be noted that the complaint is neither the property owner nor the cemetery authority in this case. If the owners of this property ever decide to begin the dedication process in the future, the issue of the existing pet burials would certainly be raised. Another aspect of this case is that the Washington Department of Historic and Archaeological Preservation, or DAP, has declared that they consider this property to be a cemetery due to the presence of cremated human remains on it, but their designation does not meet the legal definition referenced above that this board must adhere to. In conclusion, although this issue is complex and not helped by some confusing and sometimes conflicting language and commonly used terms, the fact is that this is privately owned property that has existing pet burials on it, which precludes it from being legally defined as a cemetery, as RCW 6804040 is currently worded. The property in question also, or has also never gone through the dedication process as required, therefore it does not currently fall under the jurisdiction of the board. As such, there is no violation of rural law or law, and I recommend this case be closed with no further action.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Do we have a motion? And again, do we have a motion?
This is Dave, so moved.
So moved by Dave. Do we have a second?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and second.
And moved and seconded. Do we have any other questions?
One, this is Dante. Going back to the early definition of cemetery, I understand that they're burying cremated remains there. Is it a columbarium, or are they being buried in the ground, or do we know?
This is Pete. These are all ground burials for cremated human remains that we're talking about.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, if not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The case
Mr. Chair, before we move on to reports, first, for our the folks who have called in, if we could ask you to please mute your phones. Yeah. We're getting quite a lot of feedback.
Yeah, definitely.
Unfortunately, for callers, it's much more complicated if we try to mute. But Mr. Chair, if staff could request that the board return to item 7.4 for case number 2022-03-04-02-00-FDE. Sure. This was the case that Mr. Cameron made a motion on, but there was never a second. If we could ask that the board either ask additional questions if there's additional information that staff could provide on this case, or provide other direction on information they would like to see returned so that we can have a direction regarding that case.
Okay. Let's go to 7.4 again. I'm just putting it on my bigger screen here just to see. Okay. Is there anything else we can discuss on this? Mr. Ittner, do you have anything?
Or, I guess my, you know, my comment here is that, you know, it's certainly a customer service issue, right? It's just plain terrible customer service. And so, you know, given their responsibility to, in my opinion, act appropriately and treat people with respect, I think that the letter of education regarding that matter and the appropriate you know, ways to conduct themselves relative to providing customer service and death certificates, that a letter of education is appropriate. Beyond that, there's no, in my opinion, violation of statute.
It could be that, like Dante was mentioning earlier, he couldn't had a hard time talking into his microphone, and so I know that we actually had a motion, but we just need a second on that.
I'll go ahead and second.
Okay, has been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you, Sydney. Let's go to 5.1. We're going back on our agenda here. Discussed. Okay. Sydney.
So this is just a continuing discussion of the board goals and priorities that we started on February 10th of this year regarding the board's priorities and the goals. Again, this is going to be a continuing discussion. I know the board has had this document for a week or so, I guess approaching 2 weeks now. If there's anything else that the board would like to add to the priorities at this point, otherwise, staff would request that we look at tabling this discussion until the next meeting, just in the interest that we do have a lot of members of the public here. And in case there are a lot of public comments, we want to make sure that we allow for plenty of time for that.
Do you have any opposition to table? Hey, do we have a motion to that, or do we need one?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and move that it gets tabled till the next meeting.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Pete. No second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, let's go with go ahead and go with reports. 8.1. Committee task force reports.
So just a really brief update for the board, and the board members on this committee are welcome to chime in, but the Licensing Future Task Force did meet earlier this week. The group had some really great discussions trying to kind of get their arms around the different factors that are leading to the issues, particularly on the funeral side with the projected rapid increase in death rates and a lack of new licensees coming into the profession. Just understanding the different impacts from that increase in death rate in aging workforce in this particular field, lack of interest from the new generations coming in, or where that interest is, if it is appropriate interest, or more of morbid curiosity. So did a really great job of discussing and trying to wrap their arms around what the problem is. They came up with some really great next steps to look into, including possible alternative pathways to licensure in addition to the current traditional pathways going through a mortuary sciences education program and obtaining your degree, if there are any other means. So they're really digging in on a lot of research. And they're also looking at the possibility to conduct wider surveys across licensees in the state, as well as attracting research on attracting the new generation. So they're looking at a lot of different things, and I think they're going to have some good reports to come back to.
Good. Okay. Where are we at? We're at 8. Do we do 8.22 or?
I think 8.21 is going to be our next one.
8.21, got it. Yeah.
All right. There we go. There is our complaint status report for the month. So on the cemetery side, we have a total of 18 closed cases, 10 that are in management review for a total of 28 cases on the cemetery side. Funeral side, 33 cases that have been closed, 11 that are currently under investigation, 7 that are in a legal review, and 20 that are in the management's review status for a total of 71. Giving the program a total of 51 closed cases, 11 currently under investigation, 7 in a legal review, 30 in a management review, and 99 total to date.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Then go ahead.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. This is going to be item 8.2.2 for our licensee counts. These are the current counts for cemeteries. We have 132 for cemetery remain disposition permits. We have 47, and crematories, we have 80 for a total on the cemetery side of 259. On the funeral side, I won't go through all of the individual categories, but we do have a total of 1,646 for a total number of licensees for the entire program at 1,905. The other piece that I wanted to mention with this, last meeting we had a question about the category that alternative reduction or organic reduction facilities fall on this report. The short answer is that they are not included in this report. They are not currently tracked using the licensing program that we use here in-house. They're being tracked by hand separately by staff. So we are working on how to clean up the report that is currently in so that we can actually bring those numbers to the board. It was unfortunately not ready for this meeting, but hopefully by the May meeting, we'll be able to bring that back and give you guys those additional numbers as well.
And just for clarifications on the funeral side, that also includes all the establishments. It's not all employees and not people. It's the funeral homes as well. So,
I believe so.
Yeah. That's quite a huge number. That's a,
it is.
Yeah. Okay. So then we have the, where are we at? We're at
8.2.3. So very quickly, I just wanted to give this board a legislative update. There are two main bills that we are watching for this group. One is House Bill 1037 that would impact family burial grounds. It's not a direct board impact, but it is certainly something we're watching because there is industry impact. At the hearing that I did log in for on this one, there were some comments, or there was one comment in support, one requesting technical correction, one expressing concerns. They weren't necessarily opposed, but they were concerned about the impact on counties and how counties would be able to regulate family burial grounds. So we'll keep the board posted as that one is moving through the process. The other is Senate Bill 5261, and that is a request that I believe is being championed by the industry to shift the mandatory or the statutory expiration dates for cemetery certificates, pre-arrangement, sale licenses, and crematory permits to March 31st, as opposed to the current January 31st. And then it would also shift the funeral director expiration from, I believe it's currently on birth date, and it would shift to January 31st. So I will put together a more formal written document to send out to the board to keep you guys apprised of that. The only other one that it's going to impact all of our boards uniformly, there's a bill, House Bill 1009, that is going to require additional training for boards and commissions on licensing for military spouses. And so I do believe that that one is going to look at potentially passing. So we'll bring additional information to the board once we have that. There are a couple of additional bills that impact the industry, but they fall well outside of the board's authority. House Bill 1100, which would require counties to provide disposition of indigent persons' remains for those who die within their county. And Senate Bill 5262, which affects cemetery authorities' filings with the Secretary of State's office. So just some that we wanted to keep you apprised of. Okay. And Susan, if I could get you to scroll to the next page. I also wanted to provide the board with just a very quick snapshot. I know there have been a lot of questions and a whole lot of discussion surrounding our functional alignment that the division has recently gone through. And so a couple of our boards requested kind of before and after snapshot of how things have changed. So this is more or less what our division now looks like. Previously, we were program centric, so the regulatory boards were all lumped together within one unit. But that, as you know, that housed the board support, investigations, compliance, central services reporting, all of that was housed together. And now those are broken out into these six individual units. So the head of our unit, our assistant director, is Jennifer Clausen. She is supported by our deputy assistant director, Sarah Pittman. Ms. Pittman is over the central services team, who handles reporting and analytics and contract management services for all of our programs. And then our unit as well reports to Ms. Pittman. And we do have a new administrator on board with us who is taking Mr. Storvik's place. His name is Bill Dutra. And he just joined our team, I think, a week ago. So he's still very new to our team, but he has been with the division for quite a long time, serving our real estate program, and then was the assistant administrator with the investigations team before coming to us. Reporting directly to Ms. Clausen, we have our licensing and customer support team. They are headed by an interim administrator right now, Vanessa Simpson. Our centralized investigation and audits unit, whose administrator is Kathy Nagley. Our regulatory compliance, UCC, and firearms team is headed up by Andrea Nygaard, and then our parade and fuel tax team that does not have board impact, but they are housed with us, is headed by Lynn Briscoe. Susan, if you could go to the next one for me. So this is what our team looks like now. I know you guys have seen versions of this, but this is the current cleaned up version. So we do have Mr. Dutra as our new administrator, with Alyssa Woods as our administrative assistant supporting him. Our assistant administrator remains Deborah Allen Baugh, and myself and Susan Nieves supporting the regulatory boards, and Sandy Bauer and Sandra Schaefer supporting our advisory groups. And if you could go to the next one, just one last quick. This is what our group looked like before, so I will make sure I get this document out to the board so that you guys can study it a little bit more. But this was what our organizational chart was previously. We had Mr. Storvik as our administrator, and at the time, Julia Manley as our assistant administrator, with Kim Hall as the administrative assistant supporting them. And then we had the investigations team, like I said, our management analysts who provided that data analysis, contract management, those functions. Our licensing and customer service folks were all housed within that one unit, but they became very highly specialized in just a really small handful of things. And so with this functional alignment, that's allowed the customer service folks who are all serving the same function to handle that work and to be able to cross-train and share that wealth of knowledge across all of the programs, rather than having one or two people really highly specialized. So I will send this out, but just wanted to provide a little bit of that snapshot on how things have changed from pre-functional alignment to now.
Okay. Thank you, Sydney. So now we're jumping down to 8.2.3.3, Board Executives Report.
Beyond what's already been provided, I don't have much to report, Mr. Okay. Chair.
What about action items, 8.2.3.4 for next meeting?
Right. Susan, I will let you cover that for them.
Okay. So I have the action item list up, and it looks like assigned on November 2nd, 2021, review complaint process and delegation. And that was with Pete Cameron, Rick Little, Dante Gutierrez-Zamora, and that's currently still in progress. And on May 2nd, 2022, the Licensing Future Task Force Committee with Pete Cameron, Dave Itner, and Cameron Smock, that's still in progress. And we had a meeting earlier this week. So, yeah, Sydney reported on that earlier.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go with item 9, public comments. The public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction. The board is limited to directing staff to study the matter further or requesting that the matter be rescheduled or discussed and consideration at a later time. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes each. Prior to the meeting, comments from the public may also be submitted in writing to rbsadminsupport@dol.wa.gov. Written comments will be limited to no more than 500 words and will be provided to the board during the portion of the meeting. So at this point, if you have a comment you'd like to make, you can unmute your mic and you have up to 3 minutes to comment. And please state your name when you are commenting.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see who's going to say something. Phyllis. Okay, plus other. Okay.
Rick.
Yeah, go ahead, Phyllis.
Oh, great.
Hi. My name is Phyllis Lundquist, Phyllis Lundquist, and I live in Kent, Washington. I am here in support of the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement of a cemetery license for a commercial property at 23646 Military Road South, Kent, Washington. Washington State for-profit corporations conducting commercial burial service are intentionally buying human remains at this commercial burial site and business transactions for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State cemetery law. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South, Kent, Washington, just with a cemetery license so the human remains interments are protected and regulated. This commercial cemetery meets Washington State cemetery law to include, but not limited to, RCW 68.04.020 and RCA 68.04.040 and requires a cemetery license for human remains interments. Cemetery licensure and protections here at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to me because I live in this neighborhood and they're not currently protected. Please vote in accordance with the Washington State Cemetery Law and not our industry standards. The law is clear. This particular cemetery requires a cemetery license.
Raise your hand. Okay, I said, how do I get on? She says, raise your hand.
And respectfully, I wanted to share that from my point of view, the Funeral and Cemetery Board is missing a consumer focus and is not in line with Washington State's priority. The priority for equity, diversity, and inclusion. The board here today does not reflect our underserved, diverse community of color, immigrants, refugees, and low-income households, including King County Authority Housing and urban, unincorporated South King County on Kent's West Hill. The board here today is comprised of 3 cemetery industry members, 3 funeral industry members, and 1 public member. Currently, only 1 of the 7 board members are people of color. 0 of 7 board members serving as chair and vice chair are of a person of color. And 2 of the 7 board members are females. And of those females, 0 are of color. 2 board members' terms are ending on July 1st of this year. David Inter, sorry, I'm not pronouncing this right. Oops. Okay, I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a reminder, please unmute. Please mute your mics when, because there's some feedback. Okay. I guess we'll just go down the list here.
Yes, sir.
We have Julie Seltz. Hey, Julie.
Yes. Hello, this is Julie Seitz. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Funeral and Cemetery Board members. My name is Julie Seitz. I live in Federal Way, Washington. My name is spelled J-U-L-I-E, S as in Sam, E-I-T-Z. I am here in support of the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement of a cemetery license for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South, Kent. Washington State for-profit corporations conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State cemetery law. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South, Kent, just with a cemetery license so the human remains interments are protected and regulated. This cemetery meets Washington State Cemetery law to include but not limited to RCW 6804020 and 6804040 and requires a cemetery license for human remains interments. Cemetery license, sure, and protections at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to me because these are loved humans who had every reasonable and legal expectation of their protection. Please vote in accordance with Washington State Cemetery law on industry standards. The law is clear. The cemetery requires a cemetery license. I'd like to quickly address RCW 6804040, and the law states that for the purposes of Chapter 6860 RCW only, cemetery means any burial site, burial grounds, or place where five or more human remains are buried. Unless a cemetery is designated as a parcel of land identifiable and unique as a cemetery within the records of the county assessor, a cemetery's boundary shall be a minimum of 10 feet in any direction from either any burials within therein. The cemetery at this address has been in the King County Assessor's Office as a cemetery for years. It is recorded in the King County Assessor's Office as a cemetery. I don't see anywhere in Washington State Cemetery law the mention of pets. This is about humans and humans only. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie. Next, we have
Okay.
Christy.
I don't know how to do that.
Hello.
Yes.
All right, wonderful. Hi there, my name is Christy Maggio, C-H-R-A-S-T-Y-M-A-G-G-I-O. I live in Shoreline in Washington. I am here in support of the requirement for a license, commercial cemetery license for the aforementioned property at Military Road. excuse me, I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting to be called so quickly. The Washington State For-Profit Corporations conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State Cemetery law, and we want these human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, Kent, Washington, with a cemetery license so that the human remain interments are protected and regulated. Cemetery licensure and protections here at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to me because we need to protect the sacred spaces where human remains are laid to rest. These people who have chosen to be laid to rest next to their pets are as deserving of a peaceful and well-regulated and protected final resting place as any other person in their chosen resting place. With multiple people making the decision to have this as their final resting place, with them signing papers under the assumption that they were being buried in a cemetery with all of the protections that being buried in a cemetery provide, they are entitled to some form of protection since they are no longer here to advocate for themselves. These humans are deserving of our respect, of our attention, and our protection of them as well. There have already been violations of the sanctity of this space by building a cell phone tower on the site. This disturbs, the people who are coming to pay their respects to their loved ones who they are coming to visit. It's certainly not something that you would see in a regulated cemetery. And we hope that going forward, these people who have chosen to make this their final resting place under the assumption, whether they were correct in that assumption or not, they were led to believe that this was a cemetery where they would be protected as if they were in a human cemetery, and they're deserving of our protections at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christy. Next, we'll hear from Lisa Jelek.
Yes, hi, that's me. Hello, Funeral Cemetery Board members. My name is Lisa Jelek. That's L-I-S-A-J-I-L-E-K. And I live in Port Orchard, Washington. And I, too, am here to support the Washington State Cemetery law requirement of a cemetery license for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. Washington State for-profit corporations conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions for money, just like the others have said. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State cemetery law. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington, just as a cemetery license, so the human remains interments are protected and regulated. This commercial cemetery meets Washington State cemetery law to include, but not limited to, RCW 68.04.020 and RCW 68.04.040, and requires a cemetery license for human remains interments.
Oh, do you see the future?
Feature. Cemetery licensure and protections here at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to me because these are our loved ones. So just like others have already said, imagine this being your family member and not having the proper protections in place. That would be very hurtful if something should happen and they were no longer protected and if something else were to come in and take that away from you. So it's very important to all of us here that's speaking today that to have our time. So I do appreciate your time. We're asking you to vote in accordance with the Washington State Cemetery law and not on industry standards. The law is very clear. The cemetery requires a cemetery license.
I don't see it.
Thank you for your time.
Where's future? I can't see anything.
I don't know. I can't either.
Excuse me. Can people please mute their mics? There's a lot of back talking.
Rick, I think that Diane A. is not able to find the raise hand screen. I apologize for speaking out of turn.
Just a minute here. I'm going by the list. We do have next is Suzanne Vargo.
Thank you so much, Federal Cemetery Board members, for allowing me to speak this morning.
Can you speak up a little bit or get closer to your microphone?
Absolutely. Is that better?
That sounds better. Thank you. Please, I hear some other people talking, so please mute your mics. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Suzanne Vargo, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E-V-A-R-G-O. I live in Federal, Washington, and I'm speaking today about the commercial cemetery that lies in Urban Planning Corporation, South King County on Kent's West Hill, the northern border of Federal. I'm asking this board to support the Washington state law requirement of cemetery license for this long-time commercial cemetery. It has come to my attention that the Washington State for-profit corporations are conducting commercial burial services, intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions, exchanges for money. Per Washington State Cemetery law, this activity requires a cemetery license. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South in Washington with a cemetery license so the human remains are protected. This commercial cemetery meets Washington State Cemetery law to include but not limited to the RCW 68.04.020 as well as 68.04.040 and requires a cemetery license for human remains interments. Speaking as a cemetery consumer, the protections and regulations of human remain interment is the right of the main cemetery consumer and absolutely paramount. The ability to make sure we as consumers in Washington State are not being taken advantage of monetarily and emotionally and have a fair and reasonable recourse if issues arise need to be guaranteed and safeguarded. According to Allison Brooks, Executive Director of the Washington State Department of Archaeology and Historical Preservation, there are 3,054 cemeteries in Washington. The Washington State DOL and this board say they only have jurisdiction over about 132 of the cemeteries. That is less than 1% of the total. This leaves 99% of cemeteries. What process do the 99% have in which the consumer may register a complaint? Where's the care and due diligence of the Washington State DOL and this board to provide guidance and thorough current resources to consumers for complaints outside of the regulated 1%? In the last two quarterly meetings, May and August, every single complaint was closed by this board. Are cases being taken seriously, rushed, disregarded through a convoluted process from intake to decision that has little or no checks and balances in place with the consumer? Where is the consumer to go for just and transport process and a resolution to their funeral or cemetery issue? If it's not your problem, whose problem is it? I was not given the full 3 minutes. Be able to speak at the beginning of the board meeting ahead of conference.
Thank you.
Sir, I will deny about 30 seconds due to us discussing other people's potential concerns and noise. May I please have my last 30 seconds?
Okay, thank you very much.
Limited as a past minute show. Most of
the Linnell, Washington.
Fair and reasonable public comment process.
Hello, funeral and cemetery board members. My name is Linnell Washington. My name is spelled LanellWashington. I live in the city of Kent in front of the cemetery in Washington. I am here in support of the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement of a cemetery. Licensed for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. Washington State For-Profit Corporation conducting a commercial burial service are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial site in business transaction for money. This activity required a cemetery license per Washington State Cemetery Law. We want human remain interment to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. But with a cemetery license so that the human remain interments are protected and regulated. This is a commercial cemetery meet Washington State Cemetery Law to include but not limit to RCW 68040220 and RCW 68040440 and requires a cemetery license for human remain interment. Here, the cemetery licensure and protection are significant and important to me. Number one, I feel it will bring recognition to our community as a growing community surrounded by beautiful scenery, a cemetery that we're proud to have our pets and loved ones, which are buried there. The cemetery will be filled with a historic site filled with great and precious memories of the name it will be for their loved one. Can you imagine how it feels to have your loved one, even whether they're the pets or human there, unattended? When I first was over here, I saw that the cemetery was upkeep was beautiful, and now it's neglected. They have a right, our pets that we love, have grown to love, have become a part of the family. We have a right to feel secure in where they are and protected. We have a right for the loved one to feel secure, and we have a right to rejoice in the fact that this is where we're laying our loved one. Please vote in accordance with the Washington State Cemetery Law and not on industrial standard. The law is clear. This cemetery requires a cemetery license. Thank you for talking or taking time to hear and appreciate our point of view regarding our pet cemetery in Kent, Washington. And I know that you love pets and humans as much as we do. Thank you.
Thank you so
board
much.
Board member Rick, I don't know how to raise my hand, but I'd like to speak.
Well, what we'll do is after all the hands are raised, what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to those that weren't able to raise their hands. So we will get to everybody, okay?
I can raise my hand, but I don't know where the feature is for the speaking.
I'm just going through the list here. Let's go with Frank.
Okay.
Is Frank there? Okay.
Hi. So hello, funeral and cemetery board members. My name is Frank. That's spelled F-R-A-N-K. I currently live in Seattle, Washington, and I'm here to in support of Washington state law requirements of a cemetery license for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. Washington state for-profit corporation conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transaction for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington state cemetery law. We want human remains intermittent to continue here at this commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington, just with a cemetery license so human remains are protected and regulated. This commercial cemetery meets the Washington state cemetery law to include but not limited to TCW 68.04.020 and RCW 68.04.040. Requires a cemetery license for human remains interment. Cemetery license and protection here at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to me because this cemetery is a sacred home to my pet, and I would like to see this place well protected and regulated in accordance to law, and as well as the human remains there are on premise. Please vote in accordance with Washington State Cemetery law and not an industry standard. The law is clear. The cemetery requires a cemetery license. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Frank. Let's go down to Dennis Jarzewski.
Jarzewski. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Hello, funeral and cemetery board members. My name is Dennis Jarzewski. My last name is spelled Jarzeski. I live in Kent, Washington. I'm here in support of the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement of a cemetery license for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South in Kent, Washington. Washington State for-profit corporations conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State Cemetery Law. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial property at 23646 Military Road South, Kent, Washington, just with a cemetery license so the human remains interments are protected and regulated. This commercial property meets Washington State Cemetery Law to include but not limited to RCW 6804020 and RCW 6804040 and requires a cemetery license for human remains interments. Cemetery licensure and protections here at this commercial property are significant and important to me because everyone should have a choice as to where their final remains will be buried. Please vote in accordance with Washington State Cemetery Law and not on industry standards. The law is clear. This cemetery requires a cemetery license. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. Let's go to Deborah S. Deborah?
Good morning. Morning. My name is Deborah Stewart, spelled S-T-U-A-R-T. I am a resident of the city of Kent, a longtime resident of the city of Kent, a patron of the cemetery in question that my neighbors and colleagues have referred to. And I also happen to be a former land use planning and development analyst for the city of Seattle, where I reviewed land development applications for many years. I would like politely disagree with the decision of the board to deny or not require a commercial license for a business that is clearly operating as a commercial business on private property And if I understand correctly, it seems to me to be disingenuous for the board to not require a license based on the fact that it is a private property, because as my understanding, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, the majority of cemeteries are privately owned in the state of Washington. And so clearly we have highlighted in this hearing some issues with your regulations and with the regulations of the state with respect to coverage of the licensing requirements. And it will be my honor and obligation to pursue this with whatever legislative and legal matters to ensure that state laws are followed and that the funeral and the funeral board has all of the tools it needs to correctly regulate cemeteries operated, whether they be privately or publicly owned, or privately or publicly operated on behalf of the public or the private public. I believe that it's, again, disingenuous to say that you cannot require a license on this property because it's privately owned. And I would like to incorporate, of course, in the interest of time, all of the comments that my fellow resident and colleagues have made regarding this property, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak before you.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Let's go to Barbara Michael.
Yes, good morning. My name's Barbara McMichael, last name spelled M-C-M-I-C-H-A-E-L. I'm joining several of the advocates who have gone before me in advocating for the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement for a commercial cemetery license at 23646 Military Road South in unincorporated South King County. It's an important protection, and I'll keep it short and sweet. Just let me join in with my fellow advocates who have testified before me. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's go to Dean Allie and Allie Blackwell.
That's it, Dean.
Blackwells, would you unmute your mic there? Okay. Is there anyone that I meant? There's a couple that mentioned they cannot raise their hand. Yes. Go ahead.
I'd like to sign.
This is
good morning, okay. Funeral and cemetery board members. Our names are George and Diane A. We're a couple who've been married for 60 years. Our last name is spelled O-E-H and pronounced like A, the first letter in the alphabet. We live in Sunnyvale, California. We are here in support of the Washington State Cemetery Law requirement of a cemetery license for a commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road South, Kent, Washington. We are a family member of Marilyn Auer, who spells her last name A-U-E-R. Her human remains were interred in 1999 at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. Marilyn was George's only sibling. She was a wonderful person and loved very much. We spent many vacations together as we enjoyed each other's company. The Washington Department of Licensing, DOL, has not reached out to us to talk about Marilyn and her human interment here since her burial. Washington State for-profit corporations conducting commercial burial services are intentionally burying human remains at this commercial burial site in business transactions for money. This activity requires a cemetery license per Washington State cemetery law. We want human remains interments to continue here at the commercial cemetery at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington. just with a cemetery license, so the human remains interments are protected and regulated. This commercial cemetery meets Washington State Cemetery Law to include but not limited to RCW 6804020 and RCW 6804040, and requires a cemetery license for human remains interment. Cemetery licensure and protections here at this commercial cemetery are significant and important to us because Marilyn was adamant on being interred at this location upon her death and wouldn't even consider any other option. We met her request upon her passing in 1999. She and her husband Fred lived in the Federal Way area and were retired from the Boeing Company in Seattle. She was active in the community and had many hobbies. Please take in accordance with Washington State Cemetery law and not on industry standards. The law is clear. This cemetery requires a cemetery license. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane. I see that Dean and Ali was able to unmute. Blackwell Bay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. My name is Dean Ali Blackwell Bay, spelled D-E-A-N. A-L-I-B-L-A-C-K-W-E-L-L-B-E-Y. I'm an Indigenous American of the Creek tribe, a nobleman to Omexum. I reside in Omexum, Turtle Island, to you. We don't have borders the way that we live. I'm looking from the outside, and then
is it beautiful?
Hello? Everyone. Oh, we lost him.
Shouldn't okay. Dig up
oh, there you
property
go.
And all of a sudden Indian burial ground. You probably wouldn't require us to necessarily give you a diagram of where all the bodies were, et cetera, in order to consider it a human burial grave. And I think that semantics in this situation where the board should probably have a little bit more empathy towards people that have already been interred here at this location. They do want additional people to be buried here at this location in Kent, but at the same time, the protections need to be there. People that did the burials in August is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And when I look at you saying that there weren't any laws broken or any codes violations, I think the Department of Revenue disagree with you. If you're interning a human for money and you're doing it in a commercial venue, there's taxes that have to be paid. That the taxes for the employee that did the burials, the taxes that get paid to the persons that are dealing with buying the stones and gravestones and head graves, those are all revenue issues that should be considered in terms of violations and whatnot. I think that Deborah was correct in the semantic side. And also hearing some of the other people that had talked in regards to the people that are on your board, I think maybe if the board was a little bit more culturally diverse, they might have a little bit more understanding on people's traditions, since the burial aspect of people's lifetimes is a extremely traditional and religious connotation to that. It's very important to people that these things are handled properly and that they're protected. That's all.
Thank you, Dean. Is there anybody else that wasn't able to raise their hand?
I'd like to speak.
And who is this?
This is Dana Young.
Can you spell your name?
Sure. My name is Dana Young. Hello, funeral and cemetery board members. Thank you for your time. My name is Dana Young, spelled D-A-N-A-Y-A-N-G. I'm an immigrant from Seoul, Korea. My family came here in the 80s, and we have lived in the area for over 40 years. We have owned and bought real estate for all over Washington. We own over 100 properties all over Washington. And we know about this property because we obviously had loved pets. However, I have witnessed personally owners of this property explaining that human burials can be buried here. At that time, I wasn't going to be buried here. However, veterans put down deposits to be buried here. I was shocked how they can operate like this without a proper license. I support requiring a law to be placed on this property, cemetery located at 23646 Military Road, South Kent, Washington, because they continue to bury humans here without disclosing it to the proper law. This is a private business doing this to make money without paying tax, without proper license. We cannot allow illegal private transactions to continue. This is a very big disrespect to the people who are being buried here, as well as the neighbors, because they're not keeping the property up to the standard code of a cemetery. In the state of Washington code, RCW 68.04020 and 040. I know the laws. Our family owns a lot of properties. We have never seen anything like this anywhere in the state of Washington. Also, previous owners have approached my family to buy a plot, just as in human cemeteries sell plots to the person to be buried in the future, so that they have the total control of the plot as a real estate in their name, to be deeded in their name. Of course, he might have tried to scam the money out of us, because this property is not a legal human cemetery. And had we paid him, we would have been clearly out of that money, $20,000 or $25,000. So it's very important that this property be designated as a legal cemetery and follow the law, because the current and past owners kept continuing to promote this property as a legal cemetery without the proper laws and zoning.
Thank you so much for your comments. This law. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay.
I would like to say something.
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Kathy Sura, S-U-R-A. I live very close to the cemetery there, the cemetery property. And I just wanted to tell you that, you know, for 40 years, I feel that this whole area has been swept under the carpet all the time. There have been numerous violations already on this property. They don't want to comply with the law. Then the law needs to step in and take action where it can. In this case, you folks need to step up to the mark and say that this does need to be a licensed property. You just can't wipe away everything all the time. There are human interments in this cemetery, and the law is clear that a cemetery is required to conduct business there, needs a cemetery license. I am going to cut this short, and I agree with everything that was said before me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay. Let's go to item 10. Do we have announcements, Sydney?
So this is a new item that is appearing on all of our board agendas. This will be for board members who want to make announcements on anything, attendance at industry group meetings that aren't reported out, you know, to the board, things like that. Running for representation in one of those groups, things like that. So just if any of the board members have any announcements they would like to make, this would be the place to do so on the agenda moving forward.
Okay. Any board members have any announcements? Mm-hmm. All right. I should have mentioned this before I get to 10-3. I just wanted to thank everybody for being part of the discussion. It was clearly, this is the largest attendance we've had in a long time. So this again, thank you again for the comments. So then we got 10.3.
Mr. Chair, item
10.2. Oh, sorry, you're still at 10.2? We did announcements, didn't we?
We did announcements under 10.1. This is 10.2, okay. Request got for it. Future agenda items.
Okay, got it. 10.2, future agenda items, that's 10.3, request.
10.3 yeah. Is review of the action items and the items for the next meeting. So this is another new item. If any board members have had anything that's come up or discussions during the course of the meeting that you would like to see an agenda item for the next meeting, this is a good place to request.
Okay.
So for the future agenda items, does anybody have any agenda items that they would like me to add?
This is Pete. Has there been any movement on returning these meetings back to in-person? I know last time we talked about it a little bit and it was a matter of facilities and accommodating both in-person and online, but has there been any movement or progress on that part?
Yes, we have the technology actually in our possession now. The staff is wear testing and working with our technology team on getting installed and making sure it works properly. But we do have technology in place that it'll be a combination camera microphone system that will allow us to highlight board members as they're speaking to make sure that the public can see all of you and hear all of you. But still allow for that hybrid piece for anybody not attending in person. And so we're just finalizing those technology pieces. Once we have a date, we will bring that back to the board and let you guys know when we can put that in place.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So next is... So we have 10.3? We're done with that. So do you have anything else, Sydney?
I was just going to say, Susan, Mr. Chair, I apologize. I just caught on your annotated agenda that the numbering got off. So I apologize for not catching that before. But Susan, did we have any action items or items for the next meeting that came out of this?
So there was the future agenda item. We are doing the board goals. We're just tabling it to the next meeting. And then there was no action items noted. So just the two items with the two committees from previous is still on the action item list. That's all I have today.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to thank again, everybody for attendance. And we'll do number 11. The time is now 11:23. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
This is Dante, so moved.
Do we have a second?
This is Pete, a second.
Okay, moved a second. Questions? If not, everyone say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you again for coming, and the next meeting will be on May 25th, 9 a.m., and hopefully down the road will be, as stated, will not be as virtual anymore, but have the option of meeting in person. Again, thank you all for coming.
Thank you, everyone.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye.